Hello again, and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. We do this by telling you about important events that are happening around the world, and we do it in a special way. To make our stories easier to understand, we speak more slowly than normal. We also use fewer and easier to understand words. We hope you will not only listen each day, but print the words we say from our website and save the audio as a podcast. That way you can go back, read along, and listen again and again as you practice saying it the American way. Let's get started. First, we are off to the African nation of Zimbabwe. It has long been known as a hot spot for child marriages. The United Nations says that as many as 31% of Zimbabwean girls are married before the age of 18. But two such girls say enough is enough. They are taking steps to raise the legal age at which girls can be married. Katie Weaver has the story.
Loveness Manzuru and Ruvimbo Topodzi were just girls when they were married and gave birth for the first time. Now they are hoping to correct what they say was a violation of their rights. Zimbabwe's highest court is now considering the case of the two young women. They are seeking to raise the legal marriage age for girls from 16 years to 18, the same as it is for boys. They also want to cancel existing child marriages. If the court agrees with them, the ruling could affect countless girls and their families. Former Finance Minister Tendai Biti is serving as the lawyer for the two women. He argued in court this month that the legal age should be 18. That way, he says, the young women are old enough to make their own decisions.
1 in 3 Zimbabwean women is married below the age of 18. 25% are in fact being married or being impregnated before the age of 15. So these are young children.
Tendai Biti argued in court that Zimbabwe's new constitution identifies 18 as the legal age to decide to have a family. He said that approving marriage at a younger age violates Article 56 of the Constitution, which guarantees equal protection under the law. Emily Nampopo is with the development group Plan International. She says child marriage fails to protect the rights of children and needs to end.
We have very high prevalence of child marriages, second from South Asia. So as a region, we are at 37%. But within that region, we have hotspots, which are countries with even much higher prevalence rates above 37%. For example, in Mozambique, in Malawi, in Zimbabwe, in Zambia, in all these countries, the prevalence rates are pretty close to 50%. For every 100 girls, 50 of them at least get married by the time they're 18 years old.
Opponents of child marriage say it is often a result of poverty, lack of knowledge, and cultural beliefs. They note such marriages can lead to human rights violations. For example, marriage at an early age can prevent a girl from continuing her education. It can also reduce the chance of her getting a good job and good health care. Zimbabwean officials say the results of child marriages can even be deadly. They say the nation's high death rates for children and mothers can be linked to the large number of mothers who are too young. It is not clear when the Constitutional Court will rule on the case. I'm Katie Weaver.
You are listening to The Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Mahinda Rajapaksa was South Asia's longest-serving leader. He was elected president of Sri Lanka in 2005 and won re-election in 2010. In 2014, he called for elections again, 2 years early. Most people expected him to win another term, including his trusted astrologer. But something unexpected happened. Kelly Jean Kelly reports.
Sumandasa Abagunavardina has been advising Mr. Rajapaksa for 30 years on how the planets and stars would affect the president's life. The astrologer called the Sri Lankan leader an invincible personality and a blessed man. The astrologer said Mr. Rajapaksa would win a great victory on the January 8, 2015 election. The astrologer was wrong. Instead, a member of Mr. Rajapaksa's party unexpectedly sought the presidency. Maitripala Sirisena reached out to the opposition and won an easy victory. Now, the former president's astrologer is out of favor, too. Mr. Abagunavardina has surrendered his official car. He has resigned as a director of a government bank. Before, he was called the royal astrologer. Today, few people believe his power to read the planets. Mr. Abagunavardina told Agence France-Presse that he knew the former president would lose, but the astrologer said he felt too bad about the news to tell him. Mr. Abagunavardina also said that even Nostradamus, the famous 16th century French astrologer, had some incorrect predictions. Many people in Sri Lanka believe the position of the planets and stars influences their lives. But one professor says the country's politicians put even greater faith in astrology than most other people. Harini Amarasuriya teaches in social sciences at Sri Lanka's Open University.
When you're in those kinds of positions, it's a very isolating place to be in. And you kind of, you know, cling to these kind of mystical practices in order to get some sense of security.
In recent days, many people on social media have been making jokes about those who predicted the former president's victory. The unexpected election results have also started a debate in the country about how much power astrology should have. Sasank Pereira is a Sri Lankan anthropologist at the South Asian University in New Delhi.
This is a country that has a lot of these kinds of beliefs.